This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, August 23rd, 2023, the memorial of St. Rose of Lima, by Father William Doc Holliday.
He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. The words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, the Heavenly Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That reading, traditionally, is said in almost every feast day that I can think of holy women. He that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Today is a memorial, St. Rose of Lima. I've always been somewhat enamored of the fact that not only the things that St. Rose did, but the timing of the whole thing. You think of the timing, 16th century, the 1500s. The church had been in existence for 1,500 years, a millennia and a half. The continents of Asia, Africa, and Europe, every single one of them had been soaked in the blood of martyrs up to that point. It had never happened in the Americas. There was no gospel here. It's interesting that you have the gospel start to creep in. And then you have the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Europe when literally hundreds of thousands of souls are being ripped from the heart of the church by the so-called Reformation. Our Blessed Mother appears in the Americas, and with the assistance of faithful people like St. Rose, opens the door to the gospel here, and millions come to our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the timing of St. Rose. St. Rose, if you ever read her life, I'm not really going to get into the details of this stuff today, but most of us are familiar with it. St. Rose, to say she lived a life of penance is a tremendous understatement. You know, even in the collect for the day, the prayers of the day, her sweetness and her sufferings, even in the prayer, St. Rose is pointed out as being one who suffered for the faith. Sometimes in the things which she was confronted with, other times voluntarily. If you know the life of St. Rose, I, as a pastor, and this isn't because I say it, it's just really something that's practical. And even in Butler's Lives of the Saints, when you read about her life today, ordinary Christians must not seek to copy St. Rose of Lima. She was a very unique individual. And every now and then, our Lord does raise up very unique individuals to engage in lives of faith that are, let us just say, extraordinary. St. Rose was one of those people. She lived an extraordinary life of penance, many of which she put on herself, many of which we would think would have a person committed to an insane asylum. But nonetheless, she is St. Rose of Lima. Our Lord does work like this. He will at times pick people to do extraordinary things, and they do them, and we learn from them. Not that we're supposed to repeat them, but that we learn from them. Because the lesson that we learn from them is that it doesn't have to do with the acts per se that in which we engage, but it's the intentions of the acts. Pure intention of doing God's will, no matter what you do in life, no matter how many corporal works of penance or corporal works of mercy that you can make, as long as it's done with the intent to fulfill God's will, all of the works in your life, and there must be works. All your friends, it's nothing about works. It's all about faith. Never once, ever in Scripture, nowhere when it speaks of God's judgment on us when we get to heaven, is there any mention of faith. You are never judged on your faith. You are always judged on your works. Your works-based. See, I told you, Catholics are works-based. No, they're not. You will not have, you cannot have a faith that is not consequentially proven by your works. St. James, you show me a faith without works, and I will show you a dead faith. Works must be an accompaniment with our faith. They are the outgrowth of our faith. And if your intent is to fulfill God's will, no matter where you may be spiritually, no matter if you've ever even heard of corporal works of penance, if you're living a life intent on fulfilling the will of God, what you do is going to be acceptable. Again, corporal works of penance and mercy are very, very helpful. They do a tremendous job in amplifying our day-to-day works, but nonetheless, it is about the intention of fulfilling God's will. This is what St. Rose did. The first reading today from Corinthians, St. Paul, he points out to us that God alone moves man to do good. And he moves us in different ways. Okay, there are different parts of the body. He moves us in different ways, but he does move us. And he has to move us into doing good works. That's what makes things good. You know, you hear your friends all say, well, that person never goes to Mass and they really badmouth the faith and all this kind of stuff, but they're basically a good person. No, they're not. St. Thomas Aquinas teaches us that, and that's not him, he just articulates it properly, that for something to be good, the ends have to be good. And for you to just do nice things for people without the end of ultimately giving honor to Christ through what you do, and ultimately getting into heaven as a consequence of what you do, then it is not good. Doesn't mean it's not acceptable. Doesn't mean it's not a nice thing to do, but it's not necessarily good. God alone moves men to do good things, because when he moves us to do things that he wants us to do to fulfill his will, we get closer and closer to him, which means we get closer and closer to heaven. This is what makes it good. Only what is good is worthy of praise. This is what St. Paul says in a nutshell in just those few verses from 2 Corinthians. God alone moves us to do good, and only good is worthy of praise. The context in which St. Paul says it's also kind of interesting. The context is his confrontation with false apostles. In confronting them, he points out that they're not doing what is good. They do not have favor with God. And it's not because of him saying so. It's because of how God has proven it. How has God proven that St. Paul is speaking for him? Through his sufferings, through the endeavors that he has to make. These false apostles, they're trying to make money from the Corinthian people. And St. Paul has never asked anything of them, and he has actually suffered for their cause. This is what he points out. As he starts to talk, he says, please bear with me. What does he mean by that? Bear with me, because I'm getting ready to sort of brag on myself. Well, bragging's sinful and it's wrong. Not necessarily. Not necessarily at all. Paul said, bear with me while I speak of this. And he starts speaking of the things that he does and has done for the Christians in Corinth. Bear with me. And then St. Paul begins to commend himself. He commends himself. Like a lot of people, sounds almost like St. Paul's bragging. In a sense, he is. It's not wrong to brag on occasion. If the motive is proper, St. John Chrysostom speaks of proper modesty. We're talking about modesty, we're talking about dress, we're talking about humility. He said there is a proper time to be modest in what we've done. There's other times when it's not particularly prudent to be modest in what you've done, particularly when it advances the gospel. St. Paul wants people to listen to him and not to listen to the false prophets. So he points out, these guys, they want your money. Look at them. Me, all I speak to you is about the ways to get to heaven. And look at the sufferings that I've had to endure to do that. I've never taken a thing from you. I work with my own hands. You know, Paul says this several times. I work with my own hands. I've never asked a thing from you. Some people could look at that and say it's braggadocious. No, he's just pointing out fact. He's pointing out fact. He's pointing out the reality of his faith. And this is really an indictment. Not really an indictment. It's just a lesson again in human nature. They're not listening to Paul when he's sharing the gospel with them, but they will listen to him when he brags. This is our human day. We like to talk. We like to speak of each other. Why is that? Because we like to one-up one another. I've done this. I've done that. Well, I did it twice and a lot better than you did. You know, that's the human nature. So Paul actually gets their attention by kind of pointing the finger at himself in all the good things that he's done. So the Corinthians, they were paying attention to him. And St. Paul, he goes on where, again, in his presentation to them, he proves to us that there can be times that it's not opportune. It may even be inappropriate to be too humble or meek. St. Rose of Lima, another example that she gives us. She could have been the consummate young lady, and when her parents told her to get married, she goes, okay, Mom and Dad, I'm being submissive. I'm being a good Catholic daughter. No, I'm not getting married. Oh, yeah, you're going to get married because you're very pretty and everybody thinks you're pretty. And look at you. You're going to go, okay, I'll cut all my hair off, which she did. That was just one of the few easy things she did. But she made herself unattractive. I like when people think I'm pretty. I want, and it's the right thing for me to do what my parents do. Not if you're called to honor Christ in everything that you do. So she was not necessarily, and it would have been inopportune for her to exhibit this kind of humility, because God had not called her to that. So that's why we should not be generally humble, but there are times and scenarios and we just have to put forth what we've done or what we will do for the cause of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you really get out of hand with it. I'm going to say out of hand. You can really, let us say, be inopportune. That was the word. Inopportune to be too humble at times. Because why? Because what St. Paul says, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. When you brag on yourself, you brag on yourself in a way that points to Christ. This is what St. Paul did. This is what St. Rose did. This is what all good Christians should do. There are going to be times, not maybe times, there will be times when you should stand up for what you've done for our Lord Jesus Christ. St. Paul brags on himself. I'll brag about people that come to this parish. Heck, even before somebody burned it down, people sacrificed to come here. Why not stay at the bigger place that has this program and that program has cry rooms and all this other kind of stuff? That all, you know, everybody's got a cry room. No, people come here. Nobody lives close to this place. Well, I should say very few live close to this place. Most people drive a half hour, 40, 45 minutes. In Florida, I used to be so humbled by, they're all grown up now and everything. But when they were teenagers, you have a group of sisters who drove from Flagler County at least a couple times a week to come to Mass here. Flagler County. It always nixed me from complaining about living in Deltona. Is that something to be bragged about? Yes. I'll brag about the people that come to this parish, because it points to the work that the Holy Spirit has done them in deepening their faith. That's a good thing. It's a good thing, and it's an opportunity to, oh, you know, it's just another, it's not just another parish. Heck, and even now that somebody burned it down, there are people, they still come. Everybody coming in here, meeting in the parish hall. That speaks something. And that's something that should never be discounted, is what people will do practically when the Holy Spirit draws them deeper into their faith. That's a good thing. It's just reality. Don't walk around bragging about it all the time, but when the opportunity arises, it'd be good. What? Most people that wind up here, all they ever hear from people that they use, I can't believe you drive that far. I can't believe you go there. I can't, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's an opportunity. Yeah, don't use the word braggadocious, but I mean, point out facts. This is a good thing. Because our Lord wants us to point to Him. I'll end it up with St. Paul, as he finishes up just a few verses in 2 Corinthians. For I am jealous for you with the jealousy of God. You know, again, that's another word. Jealousy, that's not right to be jealous. You should never be. Jealousy actually shows how much you love something or someone. If you're jealous of them, it's sinful to be jealous. Several times in the scripture, God speaks of Himself being jealous. There can be a sinful jealousy, but jealousy, wanting the best for someone, not wanting that, that's jealousy. God wants the best for us. And if somebody tries to drag us away from Him, He is jealous and He will react very, very indignantly to the people who try to get more. Or if people try to leave Him after He showed them, He will react indignantly. Jealousy shows how much you love something. This is what Paul's saying. I love you as much as God loves you in His own human way, because jealousy demonstrates the strength of His love. We're betrothed to Jesus Christ. We are betrothed to Him. Consequently, you know, we just had a betrothal service last Sunday. In a betrothal service, two people get up before Almighty God, and a man and a woman say that they're going to get married as God is their witness. And as all the witnesses, listen, betrothed means that you are exclusively attached to someone. We're betrothed to our Lord Jesus Christ. There is an exclusive relationship that exists between us as individuals in Jesus Christ and us as parts of the members of the body of Christ, which is the Roman Catholic Church. We are in an exclusive relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. He established that church. We are members of that church, and we as individuals are exclusively related to Him. That's why it's not a good thing for your soul to leave what our Lord has established and go commit spiritual adultery somewhere else in another group that calls themselves a church, which is not. He only established one. This is a reality, and this is what we should be jealous for. We should love our Lord for calling us into His church. We should love each other in accord and in commensurate with the way that our Lord loves us, and just be like St. Paul. I'm jealous for you, and care for the best of one another. And every now and then, that entails bragging about it. But at the end of the day, any bragging that we do need to be bragging that points to the Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.